My guest at this time is Missouri Republican Congressman Todd Akin, who is now the GOP nominee for U.S. Senator in the state of Missouri. He is challenging Democratic incumbent Claire McCaskill. He, of course, has been a guest of ours numerous times. He won a very competitive primary back in early August. Shortly after that, he found himself in controversy over remarks related to rape, but now the race looks to be extremely close, anywhere from a dead heat to Senator McCaskill up by just a few points. So we'll talk to him about his decision to stay in the race and what the key issues are for voters moving forward. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Greg, it's a treat to join you and your great listeners.
Well, let's first of all talk about where you think this race stands right now. Obviously, right after the primary, you had a pretty healthy lead. Then after the controversy, it swung back the other way. Now the polls suggest it's anywhere from a 1 or 0 point margin, or any perhaps Senator McCaskill's up by a few points. Where do you read it right now?
The two polls that I've had access to, one of them had me up by 3.6 points, another one 3, and then I heard one recently that was 2. So it's, within the margin of error, basically. It's a close race.
People know, obviously, what triggered the controversy, and there were a lot of Republicans that asked you to get out. Ultimately, you decided to stay in. What was the main reason you decided to stay?
Well, it was really two. And the first was where you have to make a decision on a public policy thing. And the first thing I always look for is, what's the principle? You know, what's the fundamental thing to give you an idea of what's the right thing to do? I think many people in politics make the mistake of saying, can we win instead of, or how do we win instead of, what's the right thing to do? And my sense on this was, it was really pretty straightforward. There had been 8 people who'd been involved in the primary for about 16 months, and many millions had been spent. All kinds of people made big sacrifices, working parades and all these sort of things. And when it was all done, the state of Missouri, the Republicans in the state of Missouri, selected who they wanted to run against Claire McCaskill. It turned out that it was me. So my thought was, now there's people that want me to step aside so they can appoint someone else. And I thought, I don't really believe that it's even a moral thing for me to do, to step aside. I felt like, look, you've been given, in a sense, a sacred trust to try to take back the Senate for the Republicans. And you were chosen in the state of Missouri to replace Claire McCaskill. And so I had a very strong sense that the right thing to do was to stay the course and just go ahead, full speed ahead, with what people had asked me to do. Now, later, about another couple days later, that became much more obvious to me that I was right in my first impression. I did that with a lot of prayer, as you can imagine, Greg. And then when I saw that some of the top leaders in the Senate had been playing in a number of Senate races and apparently were trying to pick more moderate candidates, then it made me all the more determined to say, no, I'm not going to play their game. The people of our state chose me because of the beliefs I have and what I had to offer. So I'm not going to allow a couple party bosses to basically chase somebody out and name who they wanted to replace them. They had been playing in Florida, had supported Crist over Rubio, had not been supporting also Rand Paul over in Kentucky and some other races as well. That was my reasoning, and once I made that decision about 3 weeks ago or so, I don't remember exactly how many, I've been just straight ahead, replace Claire McCaskill.
Congressman, is this the right decision, win or lose? You mentioned this was obviously a key seat that Republicans want to pick up to retake the majority. So does the outcome decide whether this is a good decision, or is it a good decision either way?
I think it's a good decision either way. The idea of allowing the party to try to pick somebody else would have been a far bigger fiasco, I think, than people might have thought, because you've got a central committee. There'd be all kinds of people getting involved in that. I don't think that would have been a clean process, and I think a lot of people would have felt very upset that the party had taken that on themselves to do it. As it is now, Greg, we have a great block of Republicans enthusiastically supporting us, and we're getting support in addition because of the fact that I was willing to stand up to the party and stand up for what I believe about pro-life, among other things. We've been getting support from Washington all the way over to Maine. So I think what's happened is the old show-me state, somebody said that Missouri is like a Midwestern New Hampshire, and they don't really take to Washington authorities telling them what to do.
In your previous appearances with us, we've obviously talked a lot about the state of the economy, the very different positions you and Senator McCaskill hold in terms of the size of government, of spending, your desire, obviously, to repeal the president's health care plan, a lot of different issues. Do you feel like
we're just about opposite, Greg?
Do you feel like those issues are getting the oxygen you need them to get when I know your comments were the first question in the debate and obviously a centerpiece of Senator McCaskill's ads as well. So do you feel like the issues that you think you need to focus on are now back front and center in this campaign?
Well, certainly they are. And there is you're going to see this. I already predicted this a month ago. Claire McCaskill is going to try to make the race about all kinds of little things, anything that's a distraction to get away from how she voted. They want to make it how he thinks or what he said, or what somebody else thinks, or what they said about what he thought that she thought that he said, anything but her voting record, which is just a disaster for the state of Missouri and a disaster for her politically. 71% of Missouri voters said they didn't want the efficiency of the federal government and the compassion of the IRS running our health care. And that vote was taken. 71 people voted that way, and a couple months later, Claire McCaskill was the deciding vote. If she had not voted for Obamacare, it would not have passed, and she voted for it. And she was asked about that, and she said, well, if people don't like what I did, then they ought to throw me out of office. She said that herself. So that's one vote that we just are totally different on. And then the different things that are contained in the vote that people don't realize were in there, like a $700 billion cut to Medicare. That's not a very popular thing in our state. And the idea that Medicare is going to be rationed by a board of 15 people making health care decisions as to who gets service or care under which conditions. So that's one. And then, Greg, the state of Missouri, we're big on the U.S. Constitution. We pay a lot of attention to it. We weren't impressed when Obama bombed Libya without congressional authorization. And we also care about the Second Amendment. And I have an A rating with the National Rifle Association, and Claire has an F. She voted against concealed carry and has been an enemy of the Second Amendment. So those are just a couple of examples. Obviously, the big stimulus bill, which is now quite a bit the discussion, and how it was that Claire McCaskill said she went through this thing line by line. She said she removed $100 billion of different things that people are going to spend money on, including educators and veterans, and took them out of the stimulus bill, and yet somehow managed to leave in the $1 million for her own family business. That's one of those things that you go, who are you really working for anyway? Are you looking out for the people of the state of Missouri, or are you trying to get rich off of the poor taxpayers that are trying to make ends meet?
On the jobs front, Congressman, obviously it looked like a pretty good win for Mitt Romney the other night in the debate, and President Obama supporters believe that the Friday jobs report suggests that he might have the momentum back. It shows that his policies are working. Mitt Romney says, no, the real unemployment rate, if you look at the size of the labor force 4 years ago, is more like 11%, and this is more of an outlier than anything else. Do you think that there's been much of a change in the impression of the health of our economy as a result of this report?
I don't know how anybody who really knows anything about business or our economy could be very impressed with where we are. You know, the government number of 8-something unemployment, that's just a phony, baloney number. The numbers, because they don't count people that have been looking for a job for a year, they just take them off the list. So the real number is considerably higher. But the thing that bothers me, Greg, is I came from the manufacturing world. I came from the business world. And there are policies that we have put in place and that Obama has built up over the last 4 years that are highly destructive to job creation. And one of those things is, of course, Claire McCaskill's interest in changing the death tax, which has the effect of killing jobs also. So we are doing two bad things that make it so jobs are not being created. One, we're overtaxing small businesses. America, with our unemployment problem, has got the highest corporate tax rate of any country in the world. That's just nuts. The second thing that's even worse is the effect of the government red tape, regulations, all kinds of forms. You get fined if you fill a form out the wrong way. If you don't have an extension cord just the right way, then they give you a $20,000 fine. all that kind of stuff destroys jobs. And those fundamentals have not changed. You can have the employment numbers go up and down a little bit, but the problem is you have to look past the surface. And the fact is we have had policies that have been a disaster. 45% increase in food stamps. That's a sorry statement of the fact that more and more people are desperate because the economy is in such a mess. 10% increase in poverty, 20% cut in national defense. I'm the chairman of the subcommittee on sea power. We have the same number of ships as we had in 1917. The president's approach for the last 4 years has been an unmitigated disaster by the numbers. All you got to do, you don't have to be a numbers person. Go buy a tank full of gas and figure out you paid twice as much as you did 4 years ago.
Congressman, just about 60 seconds left here. That sounds pretty close to what I would expect your summation to be to the voters. What will be your final message to them come November?
It seems to me, in the state of Missouri, that we have a senator who has gone to Washington, D.C., and scooped up a whole lot of Washington and brought it back to Missouri and dumped it on all of us. You got Obamacare, the stimulus bill, the bailout, and all these other things. And it seems to me that the exact opposite should be the job of a senator from Missouri, and that is, let's take the common sense from Missouri and take it back to help the people in Washington.
Congressman, we'll certainly be following. Hope to talk with you again before Election Day. Always appreciate your time very much.
Well, great. Thanks for having me on with your great audience, and very best wishes to you.
Thank you, sir, very much. Missouri Republican Congressman Todd Akin, Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in the Show Me State. Obviously, the election there, just like it is everywhere else, coming up November 6th. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.